At the cross, we see actually a great replacement. Some of you today may be looking for a replacement in your own life. You know, we look for replacements even in our homes and perhaps home appliances or maybe even automotive parts. We look for replacements. Some of us need replacements in body parts. You know, sometimes we might need a new part that help us out. And some of us actually look to people around us for people that we want to replace in our lives. Maybe it's a new teacher. Maybe it's a new boss. Maybe it's a family member that is we're finding it a difficult time. Some of us today need to understand that the desire to replace is often the desire to replace love. And we're driven to replace because of doubt, and we replace because we see the need that something else can provide in our life. In other words, we see the value in something else in our life. So I want to show a little illustration. Paul, I'm going to invite you up here. Brother Paul, would you come join me here for just a moment? I'm going to invite you here this morning. I want to show an illustration of what we sometimes think of value. And I'm going to show something here. I want you to take this. Now, what? Show everyone what you have in your hands there. Okay, what is that?
A dollar bill.
Okay, dollar bill, very good. Now, I have here a coin that's only 50 cents.
Okay.
So, would you exchange... Actually, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to mess this up here a little bit. I have a dollar bill and you have a 50 cent piece. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you exchange this $1 for that 50 cents?
Yes.
Yes, you would.
Yes, I would.
All right, well, then I will exchange that to you. Thank you, Paul. Please have a seat. Y'all give Paul a hand. Okay. It's easy to pass out money when it's not your own, too. So, but what Paul didn't realize is that actually this is not just 50 cents. It's a silver 50 cent piece. The silver alone is worth more than a dollar. It's worth... Now you want to trade? No. Actually, that 50 cents is worth about five times that dollar. It's about 10 times its worth. It's an antique coin, too. But sometimes in our lives that we see things in the hurt and the pain, and we just want to replace it. We want something else that we value that's greater. And so today I want to speak to you about three replacements for your life in the cross. So this morning we are in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, and I want to invite you at this point now to turn to the text. Matthew 27, and I'm actually going to read the prior verse to that, verse 45. You see, on the cross, Jesus' plea was answered in silence. When we cry out oftentimes to God, all we hear is silence when we seek something else that we believe has a greater value. Today, the silence that we think we don't hear is answered only with the substitution of God's grace. Matthew chapter 27, verse 45 and verse 46. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani. This is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Jesus is on the cross. It is noontime. It is high noon. He was crucified at 9 a.m., and now he has been on the cross for 3 hours. High noon. And the text says that darkness fell over the entire land. You know, this was prior to the Passover, and during this time of year, there would be a full moon. Well, if we want to explain this out, if we want to explain where this darkness out comes from, it could only come from the sun being darkened. In the Bible, darkness is often referred to as judgment. Much in the Old Testament, we understand that the darkness is because his judgment is being put on or placed on someone or something. And so now at high noon, this darkness falls upon this land. The sun is darkened almost as if an eclipse happens. You don't have eclipses during full moon periods, just scientifically that we understand. So this was a supernatural event. Eclipses don't last 3 hours. It could only be a supernatural event. But we know that it happened. We have internal evidence. We have the Word of God that tells us this happened. We have actually external evidence from Roman historians that said that there was a darkness that fell over the entire land in the area of Judea for 3 hours. Christ is experiencing the darkness that comes upon him. He is experiencing the judgment from God. If you want to talk about an injustice, go to the cross. If you want to talk about a life that was lived in total and complete obedience to the Father, but yet suffered judgment, go to the cross. Jesus is at the cross, and even though he knew about it and would experience it, he goes because of the love of the Father. 4 days prior to this, Jesus is praying to the Father. And in John chapter 12, he says, chapter 12, verse 27 and 28, Jesus said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." The first thing I want us to look at today is we need to replace the love of self for the love of God. Jesus didn't have to experience the cross. He did not have. He could have sent down his angels and legions of angels to rescue him. He was not guilty of anything. But because of his love of God, for love of the Father, he went to the cross. And in times of darkness that we experience, we need to love God more than we love ourselves. This is a picture of the utmost humility that Christ offers. God had compiled every sin in the world and upon Jesus to the point where he could no longer look at Christ. Christ knew he was going to the cross. He knew that he would suffer the torture, the shame, the agony, and the death of the cross. And yet he said, "I'm going to the cross. It's for the glory of the Father." He emptied himself, and he emptied himself in all utter humility upon the cross at this place. At this time, Christ was forsaking himself. But the forsaking that he was experiencing, where God had put complete darkness upon him, was not on Christ, but the sin that he carried. Each of us in our lives experience a period of darkness where we don't feel that it's just fair. We experience the darkness. We experience the silence from God in our lives. And we too want to cry out and say, "God, I've been serving you all my life. I've been serving at the church, or I've been serving my family. I've been providing for my family. I've done everything I can." And yet sometimes all you hear is silence. When Caiaphas, the high priest, learned about what was happening with Jesus after he raised Lazarus from the dead, he spoke to the Jews that came to him that were worried that the Romans would take their land and their nation. So In John chapter 11, Caiaphas told them, he said, but one of them, Caiaphas, who was, John 11:49, but one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He actually prophesied the cross. He prophesied the substitutionary atonement of Christ right there. He, from this point on, explained to them and probably did not realize what he was doing. He was thinking to them, "Do you not realize that it's just better if we just lose one man than to lose an entire nation?" But little did he know, it was one man that would save a nation for all time and all people for all generations, all time. And so each of us need to replace love of self for the love of God, which Christ did from pure humility. He experienced these 3 hours of darkness. He experienced the injustice of separation from the Father. His entire life was in complete obedience. His entire fellowship was with the Father. And in this period, for these three hours, God said, "I can't look at you." Because he carried your sin and my sin and all sins for all of us and for all mankind, for all generations, right there on those 3 hours. He is carrying the sins of the world at this point, these 3 hours, and darkness is overshadowing him. And so he cries out. And what does he say? Why? Why? Why me? Why me, Lord? Why? What did I do? What did I do to deserve this? Did I not seek you? Was I not obedient to you? Why? He actually recites from Psalms 22:1, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He recites the psalmist's plea from David. And in Psalm 10, verse 1, the psalmist writes, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" He was experiencing the judgment from God in these 3 hours. Each of us need to replace the question of why with prayer. Replace doubt with prayer. The second thing I want us to look at today. He now faces a point. You see, up to this point, everyone had experienced Christ's deity. He was born of a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Christ goes in the temple and he teaches with authority that no one had ever seen or heard before. And all they know about this man is that he does the miraculous. He feeds the 5,000. He feeds the 4,000. He raises the dead to new life. He raises the lame. He heals the deaf and the mute and those with demons. All they had seen at this point of Christ is his deity. And now he stands at the cross and says, "Why?" In this moment of the cross, we see the complete humanity of Christ. You see, Jesus was fully God in his earthly ministry and fully human. And so now here at the cross, we see another side of him that we haven't really seen much of. But we have seen part of his humanity. We see him in the boat during the storm with the disciples when he's just dog tired and he's passed out and the waves are coming over the boat and they're about to drown and he's in the back of the boat sleeping. We see him in the desert, and he's hungry and he's thirsty. So we see portions of his humanity, but we come to the point here on the cross in these 3 hours. And after this third hour, he cries out with a loud cry and says, "Why?" We might think he's saying, "Why me?" He's just saying, "Why?" He is pleading to the Father. It is much less of a question, it's more is it of a prayer. And in this point here, Christ is coming to the Father in prayer. Jesus, while the only substitute for our sin, is still judged. But even in this point on the cross, he must be judged righteously. In the humanity that he is caring for all of us, he too must be judged righteously, because here he's carrying the sins for all men. You know, God sometimes answers us, but what happens is that the difficulty is when he answers us in silence. You know, God answers in silence sometimes. He answered in silence from the cross. Oftentimes, he answers to us in 3 ways in our prayers. He says yes, he says no, or he says not right now. It's the not right now is the silence that we get, but it is only from the grace from the cross in that silence where our prayers actually get answered in the silence. Jesus never gave up. He never gave up in prayer. He never gave up in his relationship with the Father. In the suffering and the physical torment that he had, he never gave up. And even after these 3 hours of separation for the first time from the Father, he still pleads to the Father. He still earnestly desires his relationship with the Father. The Son of Man who walked this earth as sinless only to do the work of the Father had given him once again what appears to be the unjust treatment for a life lived in complete obedience to the Father. In this moment, when Christ cries out, we see that never did he ask this, nor ever again. Never again would he ask. So when Christ cries out, we see his absolute identity with man. He identifies with us in carrying the sins of the world. Throughout much of the gospel accounts, we often see the deity of Christ by his unmatched wisdom, his healing, and his supernatural powers. Yet now, when Christ is crucified, we don't see that. We see his frailty, just like us. We see him experiencing the silence that we experience sometimes in our silence. We now see Jesus as fully human. He now faces the same frustrations that we get when we pray, when we go to the doctor, when we get a phone call from a family member, when we get a notice from our employer. We see a picture of him experiencing much of our life when it's like when we've been praying for these things and all we get is silence. The first time in his earthly life, Christ is separated from the Father. Because sin in and of itself is to forsake God. Write that down. Because sin in and of itself is to forsake God. The Father is not forsaking Christ. He's forsaking our sins. The Romans didn't put Christ on the cross. The Jews didn't put Christ on the cross. Jesus says, "I lay my life down by my own accord." So what put him on the cross? our sins. That's why he went there in the first place. Our sins would put Christ on the cross because of God's love for us. So as we look at the cross on Calvary, what sin did what sin was experienced? There is no other choice by God when he freely offers his grace to every man. When God recognizes rebellion from his grace, he's got no other choice but to forsake it. But he doesn't allow us to just end right there. He offers the great gift of salvation to all of us from the cross. And the third thing I want us to see today is replace everything with who you are with everything he is. Write this down. Replace everything with who you are with everything Christ is. That's the substitution. That's the 50-cent piece for the dollar. Because when we want to replace something, we don't recognize the value. We think the value is something greater. We look at ourselves, or we look at others, those that are steeped in sin, or perhaps we even look at our own sin and our own lives. And we may say, I can't believe what's happening. I can't believe what we're experiencing. I can't believe what this person did. We understand God sees something in us that we don't see. God sees the value in you that you often don't see. And he sees the value in someone else that you don't see. That's the great exchange on the cross. That's where we need to replace everything with who we are with everything who he is, because that's the great exchange. We get to exchange our sins for the righteousness of Christ. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Romans 4:25. Who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Galatians 1:4. For I delivered to you, Paul said, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The great replacement of all time is the great replacement of value and the love that God has given all of us from the cross. For God so loved the world. Amen. God so loved the world because he sees something that we don't see from the cross. That he gave his one and only Son who was without sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. That is the conquest from the cross of the great exchange. And Jesus says, why? Because God loved the world. that he was willing to give his one and only sinless and perfect, obedient, relationship, nonstop seeking to the Father, Son, Jesus Christ, that we may not experience that darkness, that complete separation, but that we might have eternal life. That is the conquest from the cross at a point of eternal destiny, at a point of darkness, of separation from the Son with the Father. Because he loves us so much, he desires for us. That's the beauty of the cross. That's the centrality of the Bible right here. It's the cross. Preaching the cross was much more common in rural churches. It was always the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. It was not Jesus that was struck by God. It was our sin that was struck. God's grace never ceases. He never stops loving us because he loves us all the way from the cross, no matter what we have done before, present, or future. Jesus Christ has paid the price. And let me tell you something. The grace that we get was not cheap. It is not cheap grace. It cost the Father his Son. In the movie, 1993, a movie came out with Clint Eastwood. It wasn't a Dirty Harry movie. It was another movie he made in 1993. It's called In the Line of Fire. And Clint Eastwood plays a Secret Service agent. And Clint Eastwood is haunted in this movie. His character name is Frank Horrigan. And Frank Horrigan is a Secret Service agent who had been in the Secret Service for over 30 years at this point. And he had been haunted for the last 30 years because when he was a young Secret Service agent, he was on detail to protect the president at that time, was President Kennedy. And on that fateful day in 1963 in Dallas, when the president was assassinated, Frank Horrigan, who was there to protect him, froze and he did nothing. And so for 30 years, he suffered the thought and he asked himself for 30 years, could I take a bullet for the president of the United States? He was haunted for 30 years. You see, in the Secret Service agents, they're trained to protect the president no matter what. He is the most valuable thing to our country and to the nation and to the world. They understand the value of the president. And so at the climax of this movie, Frank Horrigan, played by Clint Eastwood, actually puts himself in the middle between a bullet and an assassin and saves the president. And he realized he could take a bullet for the president after all. At Calvary, the situation, though, was reversed at the cross. The president of the universe actually took a bullet for each of us. And at the cross, we see how valuable we are to God. That's the love that Jesus has for us. That is the love of the Father. In the time of darkness and separation of our lives, that is the conquest. And sometimes it comes in silence in our prayers. We need to surrender our lives and to surrender to him. The replacement that we need to put in its place is faith in Jesus Christ. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Replace the love of yourself for the love of God. Replace doubt in your life with prayer. And replace everything, who you are, with everything, who he is. Will you join him in prayer? Father, there is no greater conquest that we see that comes from the cross We see no greater love. We see no greater mercy. We see no greater grace. And Father, we understand that sometimes that comes in the silence. That, Father, the tomb is empty and we have hope. And by your word, Father. So today, Lord, I just pray that if there's a person here in this room today who hasn't decided to surrender their life to you, that today would be the day. Today they would understand, they would hear you as you speak to their heart of hearts, the great love that you have for them, that even in the silence from the cross that Jesus experienced, you continue to love him, and you continue to love each and every one of us. Help us now, Father, to see the great value that you have in us, to replace that doubt, to replace the love of self, and to replace who we are with everything that you are. And I pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.